Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Here on Sports Time Radio, I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning, so swing yourself over there and check that out if you get the opportunity. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget, there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Come on, you know that by now. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right, Dan, I'm a little bent out of shape because Lucas Giolito didn't get a win. Cost me a dollar this morning or this afternoon. I had it all set. I realized all I needed was the win, and they choked and allowed Kansas City to tie the game up. So I'm a little bent right now, but I still sucked it up, and I put together a lineup for this evening on FanDuel. So we'll see how it goes. So I'm all set here. I'm going with Irvin Santana of the Minnesota Twins pitching tonight. He cost me $8,800. AJ Ellis of the Marlins is my catcher. He's down there at $2,000. He's hitting seventh in their lineup tonight. I start off my parade of Cubs with Anthony Rizzo at first base. He's hitting third for them tonight. Cost me $3,900. After that, I roll out good old Ian Happ at second base. He's hitting fifth for the Cubs tonight. He cost me $3,000. Josh Donaldson at third for $3,700. He's hitting second in the Blue Jay lineup tonight. Over at shortstop, I'm going with Trey Turner of the Nationals. He's leading off for them. $4,400 for Trey tonight, so he better come through. He's got quite a large price tag there. In the outfield, oh, look, Dan, another Cub. Your guy Ben Zobrist leading off for $3,400. You know, just looking for at bats there. Ben better do something. Another leadoff guy in the outfield here, Starling Marte of the Pirates for $3,000. And then I wrap up my outfield with yet one more Cub, Dan. Jason Hayward hitting seventh in the Cubs lineup tonight cost me $2,800. So, yes, I am stacking Cubs against Matt Harvey. We will see how this works out. The recap or remix. Irvin Santana pitching. AJ Ellis catching. Anthony Rizzo at first. Ian Happ at second. Josh Donaldson at third. Trey Turner at short. And my outfield of Ben Zobrist, Starling Marte, and Jason Hayward. So there you go, Dan. That's going to be my best FanDuel lineup of the year, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, I put the juices on because tonight will be the night Matt Harvey, you know, goes 8 innings.
Yes, is it? You know, he's probably, the way my luck goes and the way my luck has gone on FanDuel, Dan, he will probably no hit them and strike out like 15. But I'm willing to take the chance there. I don't believe that's going to happen. But we shall see. But, you know, there was a little bit of afternoon baseball with, just a tad bit of history thrown in. I can start off by telling you, I did mention the White Sox blew a lead and cost me some money there. But they did manage to win the game 5-3 over the Royals. Juan Manaea picked up the win in relief. Scott Alexander took the loss. A couple other games. The Yankees beat the Rays 3-2. Chad Green got a win. Aroldis Chapman picked up a save. Dan actually got four outs. Don't tell Joe Madden, but Chapman actually got four outs. And Chris Archer took the loss. But, of course, the most important game on the schedule, son of a gun, if the Indians didn't do it, Dan, 21 in a row, They beat the Tigers 5-3. Mike Clevenger gets the win. Cody Allen takes the loss. Cody Allen gets the save. And your guy, Buck Farmer. Dan was playing Buck Farmer today against the Indians. He got the loss. So we get a new record, Dan. How about that?
It's pretty cool.
I missed the Jay Bruce home run, which was really the big catalyst for the Indians there. But oddly, early on it was the Tigers, Tigers jumped out right away to a 1-0 lead, and it was former Cub prospect. Is it pronounced Jamar Candelaria? He hit an RBI double to give the Tigers the lead right away in the first inning. And then Bruce turned around and hit a 3-run bomb off your guy, Buck Farmer. The Indians picked up another run in the third, and it looked like, the game had settled down and they were going to kind of cruise. Clevenger was, it looked like he was just kind of rolling along. Everything looked good. In the top of the sixth, the Tigers made a little more noise, picked up a couple runs, and things really tightened up. It was a 4-3 game, and you had to kind of start thinking, oh wait, are the Tigers going to find a way to cut this off here, or are the Indians going to basically kind of hang on here? But yeah, they added. It's weird because I had the game on, Dan, and my recall memory is so bad sometimes I don't remember how the heck they scored in the seventh. But yeah, it was actually a Roberto Perez solo home run that got the game to 5-3, which is how it ended there. Cody Allen came in and didn't have any issues in the ninth. He worked a 1-2-3 ninth with a strikeout. Actually, the Indians bullpen gave up one hit in their 3 1/3 innings of work. So they struck out four. So yeah, there you go. So yeah, 21 in a row, Dan, rolling along. I don't know. When does the streak end, Dan? Are they going to get to 30? You going to go out on a limb and say, hey, how about they win every game the rest of the season, Dan? I think it would be like 33 in a row. So where do you end the streak, Dan? I'll pull it up for you here. I'll help you out a little bit here. Let's see what we got going on. Where the heck are we? What's today, Dan? It's September 13th. All right. Well, they are they host Kansas City starting tomorrow for a 4-game series. Obviously, the Royals just dropped a game to the White Sox here. Then they do have, maybe they get by there, Dan, who knows, maybe they beat the Royals all 4 games and they go to 25. Then they got to go out west, which I think might make a life a little tough. They got 3 at the Angels and then 3 at the Mariners. Teams never really seem to fare well out there. So sadly, as fun as it's been to kind of actually watch and root for, I wouldn't be surprised to see it end this weekend against Kansas City, but especially out west, right, if they manage to get through.
Yeah, I'm thinking if they don't win tomorrow, they'll hit 24.
If they can just manage to get to September 29th, they wrap up with 3 against the White Sox. I think they could probably win those 3 games if they had to. But, that's a long way off, where we're projecting quite a bit in the future there. So, we'll see. But, yeah, it's been a fun ride. And just, Dan, tomorrow the matchup is Josh Tomlin against Jake Junis. And Junis has actually been pretty good for the Royals. He's 7-2. So it may be a pretty good matchup. But I see the, according to the Indian schedule here, the Mickey Mouse Network has jumped on the bandwagon, Dan. They're going to show back-to-back games while they're on the West Coast, September 19th and September 20th. The Mickey Mouse Network is going to jump on board and televise the Indians at the Angels.
Well, that's because it's the Angels.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's because, you know, it gives them an excuse to get Mike Trout on television. So we'll, you know, we'll see how that all works out. But, you know, hey, it was, you know, it was fun. And, you know, we'll definitely see how it works out. I mean, on the plus side too, the Indians are real close to bringing Andrew Miller back. I caught some highlights of him throwing off a mound yesterday, which means he's got to be pretty close to returning. They actually have a little blurb here. Let's see what they say about a possible return, if they have a date. But I was wondering if maybe it would be this weekend or what they're kind of planning on doing with him here. He is supposed to pitch a simulated game Thursday, Dan, in what they call a low leverage situation. So we'll see if that works out. And then, you know, maybe he'll be back, maybe he'll be back tomorrow, or maybe he'll be back over the weekend. So a team who's on a really good roll is going to get some help from a really good quality reliever. But, you know, Dan, I got the ultimate question again, like we always kind of run into with this. Schomburg Stu emailed me, and he was thinking that the Indians have now peaked too early. And come playoff time, it's going to cost them. Are you a believer in this with baseball, or how do you kind of sit on these things?
Well, I mean, how can you say they peak too early at the end of the season? Is that meaning they peak before the playoffs? I mean, you know, everyone has the Dodgers pretty much dropping themselves out. So you can't really say that. I mean, you know, the question I had was everyone blamed that the World Series hangover on how the Cubs played so poorly. But when it comes to the amount of games played, the Indians played the same amount, and they've just been phenomenal.
Yeah. There's no real comment for that. I mean, I don't really know how you can compare it or how you can kind of do it. I mean, you know, everybody needs their excuse. So, you know, they've got their, you know, got it all lined up. You know, we're all set. This is how it's going to go. So, you know, we'll go with that route. That's the best way I can think of doing it. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, you know, well, that was, you know, the thing they used before was the way the Dodgers have played lately. You know, that was the big thing. Well, oh, you know, they peaked too early. So, you know, that was the excuse there for them struggling was, you know, they went on that run and it was, you know, it was too early, Dan. They peaked way too early and it just shouldn't have happened that way. So. Oh, but all right. Well, I wanted to get on this. I really wanted to talk about this yesterday with you, but I know you and I ran out of time. You brought it up right at the end of the show. Stephon Marbury announced that this will be, you know, or this is or will be his last year playing in the Chinese Basketball Association. He's 40 years old now, but he wants to finish his career in the NBA. He hasn't actually been in the NBA since 2009 with the Boston Celtics. But way back when, Dan, he was actually the fourth pick in the 1996 draft. Technically, you know, it was one of those things that was technically by the Milwaukee Bucks. But, you know, he was a draft night trade to Minnesota on, one of those crappy deals. You know, Dan, I don't think he was ever quite the breakout star a lot of people thought he was going to be. And until he got to China, you know, where he put up such good numbers in China that there's a museum dedicated to him. So if you're ever in China, you can go to the Stephon Marbury Museum. You know, I'm sure a team will take a shot with him, Dan, just for the publicity, but do you see him as being productive?
For a couple months. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, playing in China, wouldn't that help him develop his game, seeing as he's, you know, the outsider, he doesn't speak the language and all that?
Well, yeah, you wonder by now if he does. I mean, he's been there for, you know, six seasons. I'm sure you probably picked some of it up accidentally. You know, the big difference, Dan, and what I wonder is, you know, they only play about 30 games a season. The most games he ever played in China was 38 in a season. You know, obviously, you know, LeBron gets his games off. You know, they're built into a schedule. You know, we know everybody gets their games off. But, you know, that's, you know, we're talking about a, you know, almost a 50-game difference. Is he, at 40 years old, is he going to be built to handle the grind of the NBA, even with the, you know, the newer, more day off schedules and less back to backs and, you know, all the crap the King wanted that they plugged in for him to make him happy? At 40, can he, you know, can he still be, and obviously he's going to be a bench player. I don't see him starting for anybody, but can he help?
I don't know. He also sent me some YouTube videos of this China game. I've never, you know, seen him. I haven't really seen him play.
You know, is he the playmaker LeBron James asked for last year when he got Deron Williams? Would that have been a big difference there? They would have beat the Warriors with Stephon Marbury coming up. I think they're about the same age.
What position does he play? Does that matter?
He's a point guard. Yeah, he's a point guard.
Well, they definitely need one, don't they? For another one?
No, they got D-Rose, buddy. What do you mean point? They got D-Rose. They don't need a point guard. So. But, yeah, you know, Marbury spent, he spent quite a bit of time kind of bouncing around the NBA. He played 2.5 seasons with the Timberwolves after being drafted there, ended up in New Jersey for 2.5 seasons, Phoenix for 2.5 seasons. That seems to be the shtick here. That's about what you get out of him. He did manage to stick around New York with the Knicks for about 5.5 seasons, maybe a tad less there. And then in 2008-09, he played 23 games with Boston before that was it for him. You know, in the NBA, he's a 19.3 points a game scorer, but he does hand out 7.6 assists per game. You know, over in China, you know, he put up some, you know, some big numbers. He almost averaged 30 a game in 2012-2013 for Beijing. That was his third Chinese team. I'm not even going to try to pronounce some of these names, but. You know, I mean, like I said, I'm sure somebody will take a look at him. I mean, is he better off in the NBA, Dan, or is he better off in the Big Three?
Well, you really can't retire from the Big Three.
No, I mean, I guess you can't, but, so.
He can go to the NBA and we'll retire, play in the Big Three next year.
Yeah, but, you know, don't those guys usually, you know, they go back to, you know, the team they spent, you know, their career with, and, you know, they kind of retire there. I mean, which team does Marbury go to, or does he go to a new one and retire there, you know, like the 76ers or something?
I mean, I would think he would go back to the Timberwolves.
Where it all started. Yeah, I think that works with Tom Thibodeau, because obviously, you know, Marbury's not a guy that ever really enjoyed playing defense.
Yeah, Well, I mean, what do you think?
I'm just kind of looking at it like if I had a better gauge of, the rosters were, and I'm kind of like you were, I didn't get to see enough of his Chinese basketball to know how he is, but if he's in good shape, he may actually be able to help, a pseudo playoff team, a 7, 6, 7, 8 seed team, throughout the year. Again, at 40, you can't assume he's going to play more than maybe 65 games, because, he's going to need the breaks. And I think the wear and tear beats him down, but maybe he ends up with, I know the Clippers, need to find a way to replace Chris Paul. I know they brought a couple guys in. So, maybe he lands, in a place like that. I'm trying to think, I know the Heat have a couple guys, but, he could land in a spot like that. Or, maybe he goes to Washington and backs up John Wall. I mean, I think he could be ideal for, a spot like that that has a quality point guard that he could just play behind and, give some minutes to. Because, I just don't see him, you figure he plays 20, 25 minutes. That would be a good bit for him. You don't want him out there playing 30-plus minutes. So, maybe.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. What were his minutes in China? Were you able to pull that up? Or?
Yeah, let me see if I can find them real quick. I didn't see them listed, but I'm sure they are. They're on here somewhere. I just got to probably go hunting around for them a little bit. So, we're probably down here towards the bottom of the page. All right, he actually in his last season there. He played 31.6 minutes a game. So,
fun.
But again, that was 38 games, so.
Yeah, but, if you translate that, maybe he'd be good for about 20 to 30 minutes. I would do, plus 20 every day, but he'd give you about 20, 30.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think it's possible he could, he could pitch in and help the right team. So, but, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting to see if he gets a chance to come back or, how that all works out. But, interestingly, Dan, I brought up the big three to kind of lead me to my, my next thing there, out of there, Josh Childress, and I'm looking to see, he was co-captain of the team called the Ball Hogs in the big three this year, has actually been invited to Denver Nuggets camp because he played so well in the big three. Now he is 34 years old and he hasn't played in the NBA since 2013-2014. I did see a quote. Yeah, here it is. They say it's unlikely he'll make the roster. They call him a long shot. But we're looking at a guy who's another guy who's a former first round pick. He was the sixth pick in the draft by the Hawks back in 2004. And, you were probably done with basketball by then or something, but he spent 4 years in Atlanta and then actually went and signed a big contract overseas and played with Olympiacos for 2 years. They're one of the bigger, more powerful teams over there, before coming back to the NBA. He played a couple years with Phoenix, and then just 14 games with Brooklyn 1 year, then four games with New Orleans before kind of fading away. But yeah, you know, he had a, you know, obviously had a, you know, had a good enough year. It looks like he spent a, say he spent some time in the D League, just kind of, or excuse me, it's the G League now, isn't it? You know, just kind of working his way around. And then in 2016, he actually played in the Japanese League. So he's definitely made his basketball rounds. You know, Dan, it's weird, but I'm actually kind of rooting for this guy to make the Nuggets after all this. I mean, it's kind of cool. You play in the B League, right? Or you play in the Big Three, and all of a sudden they're contacting you to come back and give the NBA a shot.
I mean, I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the key word they put in here is he got a non-guaranteed training camp deal. But, you know, I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe he, you know, maybe they, you know, they got a spot for him. I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously still a, you know, big guy. I mean, he's still 6'8". So, you know, you have to, you know, you have to kind of wonder. I am disappointed that none of the sites I pull up on him include his big three stats. I was kind of hoping I could see how he did there that got him his, you know, his big, you know, his big comeback here. So
I was going to say, you wonder if they track those stats.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Cause you know, it's weird. Cause you got to figure, you know, that's obviously where they saw him play. I doubt they were in Japan starting, you know, checking him out. But, you know, I mean, I guess you wonder how it could go or how it might go. And I guess we'll try the basketball reference site and see how they do compared to our friends at baseballreference.com. Maybe they, you know, they have it added in, or there's a, you know, or there's a possible tidbit for it somewhere. But yeah, I just thought it was extremely interesting that, you know, they kind of reached out to this guy and was like, hey.
Well, the Nuggets are in one of those positions where they're not bad enough to draft high and get the lottery picks. But they're not good enough to really, you know, make a run for the playoffs. I know they were seemingly on the edge last year, you know, almost on their way of making it in. But, you know, a guy like that with the veteran, you know, just being older, you got the veteran status. And I was able, you know, that was, he was on when I was able to catch some of the big three to begin with. And, you know, the one of the things I liked about it, and, you know, if you kind of, I think the timing is just off, so you just have to, you have to look for it, you know, because it's on Fox Sports 1. I think if it was, you know, garnered, put on Fox itself or one of the majors, you have a better chance of really getting into it. But he, like many of the guys, except for AI, they were really into it. You know, it may have seemed like kind of like a joke. I don't want to say a joke, but, you know, people may have not taken the big three very serious, but these players, they took it serious. And, you know, if you were to watch him in particular, I remember that name because I was watching towards the end when they were going into the playoffs and stuff, and he had the heart, you know, he was going after it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and, you know, obviously, you know, he's not going to be a, you know, a huge scorer or anything, but, you know, you never know. I mean, he could find his own little spot and, you know, add in nicely to, you know, to how things kind of worked out, but. You know, I just think it's cool. I mean, I think it gives kind of, you know, it gives a little bit of hope to these guys who, you know, might think they still have a little something left.
Well, you know, the other side of the coin too is, you know, not being on the NBA grind for, you know, several years, or, you know, how many years he wasn't on it. You know, sometimes I think that could give you, you know, give the guy the rest and kind of that energy to come back. You know, that's one of the things you and I have talked about with pro sports in general, which is something that, you know, nobody can do, is take time off because of contracts and such. You remember with Brian Urlacher, I mentioned that several times with the injury he had, that if only he were able to just take off and not worry about football and not have to come back. And then, you know, a year and a half later, if he would have came back, I think he could have continued on in the league another, be successful for at least 3 years. By, you know, contracts and media garnered with the fans, that isn't something that's allowable. But, you know, we see that all the time in WWE.
Yeah, I found his stats here. He played in 8 of the team's 9 games. He averaged 7.6 a game. That was third high on the team. 4.1 rebounds. That was second high on the team. And he averaged 16.7 minutes per game. That was second high on the team as well. So, you know, he definitely, you know, definitely got out there and played. So, you know, we'll see it. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he does. And oddly, Dan, you know what it'll actually make me do is if I see the Nuggets on NBA TV, I'll stop and watch to see if he's on the floor.
Well, he's got to make the team first, right?
Well, you know, in the exhibition season, he may play. So, you know, I mean, I may just get him running around with, you know, the exhibition guys. But, yeah, I just, you know, like I said, I thought that was quite interesting. And, you know, you wonder, you know, I mean, there were some guys who put up some, you know, big numbers, I believe. Like Rashard Lewis was the MVP, and he put up some big scoring numbers there. So, you know, you wonder if, you know, especially in, you know, the shooting league here, you know, that the NBA's turned into. I mean, these guys, you know, even though they're older, they don't have to play defense. So, you know, if you can still shoot, you know, they can probably find a spot for you.
Oh, and just a little bit of defense and could go a long way in the NBA.
So, yeah, you just pretty much got to kind of, you know, just pretend to stand in front of the guy, right? So,
as long as you don't put your hands up for a three, you're okay.
Yeah, you know, that's all you got to kind of do. But,
bringing that up real quick, you can go into what you're saying. Do you think that's part of the reason the three shot just kind of goes uncontested these days? Because we talked about it before, and it's one of the things I hate so much about the game is, whoever you are, you jump up for the three, and as you're coming down, you find a way to make contact with your defender, and then you throw it up. You 100%, I've not seen them not get the call. And then you get the, you know, you can possibly get the three other shots, or if you make it, it turns into a 4-point play. But, I mean,
yeah,
do you think that all ever change, or – you know, if that's why threes go uncontested all the time today.
Yeah, well, you know, for the longest time, the NBA was trying to get the referees to enforce that, you know, not making the call when one player jumped, when the guy with the ball intentionally jumps into the defender. And somewhere that kind of got weeded out, because I see it all the time now. What I do notice is not all the players get it. If you're, you know, the top echelon, you know, I would say maybe the top 25, you get that call every time. But I have seen it go uncalled for, you know, bench guys, you know, 12 men guys, you know, when they're out there getting some minutes in a blowout. I have seen the refs swallow the whistle then, but yeah, if you're, you know, if you're LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, I mean, if you're at the 3-point line and the guy breathes on you the wrong way, that whistle's going off. So, you know, it sucks. And yeah, I think that has a lot to do with, you know, besides the fact nobody plays defense anyways, but, you know, you don't give guys what, you know, what's the reason to play defense? There's absolutely no reward for it, you know, except they're going to say, oh, well, he's a, you know, he's a hustler, look at him out there. And, you know, whoopee, nobody cares about that. So, you know, yeah, I wouldn't go running out, you know, especially think about it. If you got, you know, five fouls, you're not running out at a guy at a 3-point line because they're going to blow the whistle on you. You're going to foul out. You know, you're not going to do your team any good sitting on the bench. So, you know, it's definitely one of the things the NBA needs to fix, but I don't know if they want to, because, you know, offense is king and they like to see the scoreboard get lit up. Oh, but yeah, you know, just another reason for me to hate it. So I did see here, Dan, the more I look at it, I think you should have stuck with your basketball career. I saw today that Josh Richardson, Dan, of all people, got a 4-year, $42 million extension with the Miami Heat. Dan, you know who Josh Richardson is by any chance?
I have no clue.
Yeah, I didn't know either. I think I remember writing his name down a time or two when the Heat played the Bulls. He was a second-round draft pick in 2015. I had to look up his stats, Dan, to get 4 years at $42 million. He played 53 games last year and averaged 10.2 points. Was a 39% shooter from the field, you know, on his field goals, and only 33 from the 3-point line. So yeah, you know, with all this new money involved in the NBA, it does not take much at all for these guys to get paid. So, yeah, Josh Richardson is making $13 million for the next 4 years to be a 10-point-a-game scorer.
Wow.
Well, welcome to the new NBA. So, but I, you know, I guess that's what happens when the Mickey Mouse Network pumps all that money into you. You know, you got to do something with it. The scout salary cap obviously went sky high, and you know, you got to spend it. So, there you go.
You're right. I mean,
we're giving it to Josh.
Could have been a big baller.
Yeah. So. And now, I don't know if you saw this. You know, I know we always kind of rip on this guy, but I know, you know, it's your new favorite show on Facebook there. You know, apparently LeVar Ball actually did something nice for a change. You know, I saw that he has a handyman that he uses on a regular basis. And the guy had a pretty beat up truck, and LeVar Ball bought him a brand new truck. So, you know, I will give him credit for that, for being, you know, guy.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, from watching his show, and granted, you know, it's all due to editing too, they definitely put him in a brighter light, so to speak. I think at the end of the day, he just has a big ass mouth and he does not care what he's gonna say, you know. I think, you know, and I mean, the Michael Jordan comments and a few other ones, some of it, it's like, yeah, get your, you know, your head out of your arse. But, I mean, at the end of the day, when you see what he's trying to do for the boys, I could definitely respect that, you know, trying to set them up and, you know, get them out of his house.
Yeah. You know, while I do think the guy is a complete tool bag, and I don't think my opinion of that will ever change, what I've come to realize while this is going on is, and you know, this is really familiar to you and I, he's playing a character. You know, this isn't how he is in real life. He's playing he's a conglomeration of a lot of what they call heel wrestlers or bad guys. You know, it is all he really is. You know, he's loud and obnoxious, and you know, there's just no filter. So, you know, and he realizes, you know, I mean, when you say the things he says, he realizes the one thing that's going to happen, they're going to get all kinds of attention, and that's what he needs and wants.
Well, and if you think about it, it's almost likened to Joe Madden. If you think about it, I mean, no matter what LeVar says, he could say whatever he wants. As long as Lonzo Lagello, which I think is the funniest name, and then the youngest one, I forgot the youngest, LaMelo, I think is the youngest one. As long as those three kind of keep their mouth shut, well, Lonzo and Lagello will be fine. We're going to have to worry about LaMelo. He's going to be the one that's getting in trouble. Just from watching the show.
Yep.
You know, he's only, what, like 14. But he's going to be the one that's going to be a little bit more like his dad. But I think that comes from being the youngest. So, but, you know, all the negative attention gets drawn to LeVar and away from the boys. So that always kind of keeps the boys in a more positive light. And especially as long as Lonzo can back up, you know, the hype behind him, or, you know, the hype that his daddy put out for him this year, which, I mean, you know, I think the hard part for this kid, though, too, is I think there's going to be way too many people that think the Lakers are just going to turn it around completely and be a playoff team. So I'm not going to be quick to judge them this season.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I mean, what a lot of people got to realize is if LeVar starts big baller brand and he's not this outrageous personality that everybody is talking about, they're not making any money. But the fact that he is such a D-bag, and, you know, like, he'll tell women to stay in their lane, and I think there's even a big baller brand t-shirt that says that, you know, and I mean, he's going, you know, he's going to fight with Stephen A. Smith or, you know, Colin Cowherd, which would be fine. He could punch Colin Cowherd in the face for all I care, you know, or he's, you know, or he's going to say those, you know, the stuff about Michael Jordan, like you mentioned. You know, this all draws attention, and everybody goes, oh, hey, who is this guy that did absolutely nothing in his NBA career? And, you know, it gets redirected to the Big Baller Brand website, and you can sell what little bit of $400 shoes you sold. I know he didn't sell too many, but he sold some. And, you know, but they're selling T-shirts and hoodies and everything else that goes with it. So, you know, I mean, he needs to be that guy. I mean, that's the way you do things in America now. I mean, you got to get that kind of attention, right? Good, bad, or indifferent.
To be honest, exactly. And then his negative attention, for all intents and purposes, isn't compared to what a lot of guys, you know, doing today, especially NFLers, his negative attention isn't that negative.
No, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, obviously the stuff with the women got a little carried away. You know, I think he got a little bit out of control there. But, you know, the guy's never been arrested. You know, I mean, he's not doing drugs or, you know, pointing guns at his wife like some NFL players have done. You know, so, I mean, you know, all in all, I mean, it's just his personality that makes him a schmuck. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. But again, you know, it's, you know, what's the old thing? You know, there is no such thing as bad publicity, or, you know, even bad publicity is publicity. I mean, I've heard it said a couple different ways, but, you know, it's the attention they need, and, what goes on there. And, I mean, again, you know, it's directing traffic to their website. I mean, I know I've been there on the podcast to see what they've, you know, what they have offered. And, you know, obviously they're selling stuff. I've seen people wearing it. So I think I saw a UFC fighter with a Big Baller Brand shirt on the other day. So, you know, I mean, it's all part of the game, and, you know, right now he's playing it really well. So, you know, again, if you, you know, I can understand, like I said, if you don't like him, because I don't like him, but, you know, I mean, you know, you just got to kind of, you know, got to kind of give the guy whatever little bit of credit you can give him, or how, you know, however you want to look at it. So, you know, I mean, we'll see how it works out for him in the end. Hopefully, you know, like Dan says, the boys stay out of trouble, because that's the last thing you need is, you know, the kids kind of thinking they're above all it, and you know, that would you know, ruin it, you know, ruin kind of everything. So, you know, we'll see how it all works out. But moving on here, you know, we'll jump to a little bit of NFL news. Now, you know, if you're a fantasy owner, I'm sure you're still panicking. You know, it's official now. David Johnson is going to have surgery on his wrist. You know, the original, I do believe, you know, Arizona Cardinals put him on IR. That means he's gone for at least 8 weeks. The original aspect I saw was 8 to 10 weeks of him being gone. There was a quote from their head coach, Bruce Arians, that said 11 to 15 weeks. They think earliest he'll be back is Thanksgiving. If he's not back by Thanksgiving, it may be Christmas. So, you know, maybe that's the Cardinals holiday, you know, holiday prep they're looking on. If you happen to be a David Johnson owner, you know, you would have needed one of the top picks in your draft to get him. You know, because I believe in the two snake leagues that I did, he went first overall in both leagues. Kerwin Williams looks like he's going to get the first shot to replace him on the ground. But Williams is not great in the passing game, so you got to look for Andre Ellington to come in and fill that third down type back role. Now, if you remember, Ellington actually put together a really good season for the Cardinals just a couple of years ago. I'm going to have to grab his stats here really quick to see. But yeah, I remember him putting up some decent numbers and him being a very sought after fantasy guy. And I want to say it was 2 years ago, cause Johnson kind of dominated last year. It was 2014. And, you know, it wasn't so much that he was good in the running game. He rushed for 660 yards, but he caught 46 passes. So if you're in a PPR league, he really factored in. Now, with Johnson gone for as long as he's going to be gone, don't be surprised if Ellington's pass-catching numbers start to pick up like that. And, you know, if you're in a PPR league, he may be a better pickup for you than Kerwin Williams. You know, neither guy is fantastic on the ground, and, you know, the Cardinals don't have the greatest offensive line. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they sort things out. I know they re-signed Chris Johnson, but I don't expect him to be much of a factor. I'll honestly be surprised if he even gets a couple snaps a game. I mean, at this point, there's no reason for them to, you know, even try to run him out there. But yeah, that I would look for the splits that way very much with them. You know, I would guess in situations where they may run the ball, you'll see Kerwin Williams the majority of the time. But in third down and other passing situations, my guess is it's going to be Andre Ellington. So, you know, maybe that helps you a little bit. I'm sure by now you've probably already made the move, but it could give you, you know, something else to look at if you didn't go that route. And of course, this is depending how big your league is. If you're in a 10 or a 12 team league, you know, you can just go out and get another starting running back. There's one available. But, you know, if you're in a bigger league like ours, if you lost David Johnson, I mean, yeah, you're scrambling to try to get a cover. You're looking for that second guy. You know, Baltimore is going through the same thing. You know, on Sunday, you heard Mr. Fantasy and I talk about how excited we were to see Danny Woodhead as the number one running back. Yeah, he got one carry and three receptions before he pulled a hamstring, and now he's out 6 to 8 weeks. Baltimore in a little better situation. They do have Buck Allen and Terrence West behind Woodhead, who are two very capable guys running the ball. What I was surprised to learn is that they're actually looking at Michael, I believe it's pronounced Campanaro, who's a wide receiver by trade, but did manage to get a rushing attempt last Sunday. They think he may be the guy to fill in on third down. Again, he would only be a pickup in a PPR league, and that's only if your league is deep. I think you can get a lot better quality guys than him. I don't know how the breakdown will go between, you know, Buck Allen and Terrence West. It was really even last week. I think Allen got 21 carries and West got 19. But that was a blowout win against Cincinnati. In a tighter game, I don't know how they're going to quite divide it yet or who's going to get those carries. So we'll have to see this week if they get a little better game or a little tighter game. But they're both definitely going to get carries, and they, you know, while they're not Danny Woodhead, and I don't think either of them's rushing for 1,000 yards, I think they're both very viable options in a deep league. I know, like, I went out and picked up Buck Allen because I had Danny Woodhead in one of the leagues, so I was able to grab Allen off the waiver wire, you know, because obviously I'm going to need him for 6 to 8 weeks now until Woodhead comes back. So, you know, yeah, there you go. I mean, I hope it helps you out. What'd you say? I'm sorry. I didn't know you were back.
I said, do you think he'll be back in 6 to 8?
You know, my guess is 8. I would be shocked to see if he makes it back in 6, but I would guess 8. You know, it's disappointing that, you know, Yahoo doesn't have an IR for us, because it would be great to put him on IR so I wouldn't have to cut anybody to pick somebody up. But yeah, that didn't happen. So,
oh, it does. It does have IR.
Oh, it does? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, cause I learned that today. I had a guy who was on, who had O, you know, for out, and I went to bench him, or, you know, I was just trying to figure some things out. So I went to put him on bench, and they put the IR there. Just if you have a suspended guy, you know, we don't want to upset anybody, so we won't give you a suspended slot, and we won't NA him, so.
Yeah, well, when Woodhead goes on the IR, I'll have to look and see if there's a spot there for him. They haven't officially put him on yet, so. But, you know, while we're on football, Dan, I did want to ask you this one. Apparently, Josh Gordon is getting ready to come out of rehab. Does somebody take a chance on this guy?
Was he the only person in America to go to rehab for marijuana?
Probably. Except for Smokey from the Friday movies.
Yeah. And look how great Chris Tucker's career turned out. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where I think this is one of the rules that the NFL and Roger Goodell just need to let go of. But I think someone has to. I mean, eventually someone's going to get hurt. So there's got to be a team like the Bears who, not that they would, but, you know, who just lost out on Kevin White for third or fourth straight season?
Third. And he's only played 3 years.
Third. Yeah, and, you know, and speaking of Kevin White, kind of going back to Monday, you know, you brought it up again how Mr. Fantasy called in and yelled at you and about your opinion, nonetheless, of the Chicago Bears and their draft of Kevin White. While I can't go back that far and say, oh, you said he was going to be a bust, because I don't really remember you saying those words. But what I do remember you saying flat out is, I don't know why they picked a guy who's hurt, who has issues. You know, so, I mean, I'm kind of defending you a few days late. I thought about it last night for whatever reason. I must have been looking at the football leagues, and it just popped in my head. Because, I mean, obviously, no one really knows if and when a guy's going to turn out to be a bust just from their draft. But, I mean, you pretty much, you coined it or you pointed it out to begin with. Why do they draft a guy who has issues? that, you know, no one's really talking about. And I mean, back then, I think it was shin splints or, you know, shin issues or knee. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, granted, couldn't fathom the shoulder now, but he's obviously injury prone. So I wonder if we'll see him next year for a week.
Yeah, you know, they've got an interesting, you know, choice to make there, because as a first round pick, I believe after this season, they have to decide if they want to pick up his fifth year option. So, you know, my guess is obviously they're going to say no, but yeah, you know, who, you know.
Don't rule that part out, Big Jack. I'm not ruling it out.
You know, you never know.
Yeah, Cutler wasn't the guy for like 3 years, yet they continued to keep go with him until last year for some reason. I didn't understand, you know. So while you think they may not pick up that option, this team is by far the most confusing team with their front office. So who knows what the hell they're going to do. Probably pick him up and sign him for 4 more years.
Yeah, you know, you do never know. That is always a possibility here. But, you know, we'll see what, you know, what goes on or what happens with that wonderful thing. But, yeah, you know, it was just, you know, I mean, it wasn't anything that Kevin White had done. It was just the appearance. You know, you kind of knew. It was like, man, he's, you know, there's not a lot behind this pick. And, you wonder going back, I would love to know what they saw or what they thought that was gonna, you know, gonna make him a viable wide receiver in the NFL, besides the fact that he was fast. So I don't know, but yeah, I thought it was humorous. You went right to the Bears, because that was the first thing I thought of when they said, you know, Josh Gordon is looking for, you know, looking to get back in the NFL. I said, man, who needs a wide receiver more than the Bears right now? So,
well, and I guess
I thought that would be a perfect signing.
Yeah, what I forgot to ask you are, he's done with all his, technically, he's done with all his suspensions, or that he would, like, if he were to be signed by a team, he could play, you know, the following week.
Yeah, I believe his suspensions are all done. You know, the big question would be, is he still under contract to the Browns? So, you know, would you have to make a trade, or would they just flat out release him? You know, that may, you know, we'll have to look into that tomorrow, if you remember, and see what that is. But all right, Ann and I are going to take off. Hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow that link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please. Dan and I greatly appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed. That's at sportstimeradio. You can also find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you're looking for us. As always, we really appreciate you coming on here and listening to us live. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want now over at tunein.com.